الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. In one hadith, the Prophet عليه السلام told us a great blessing of reciting Durood Sharif. He said, "The one who recites Salat upon me, his recitation of Salat reaches me and I pray for his forgiveness. And in addition to that, 10 good deeds are written for the person who sends Salat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would like to start my topic by mentioning a story, as stories are a way to highlight the topic in hand. If you look throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many true stories. Stories of Prophets alayhi wasallam. Stories of past nations, stories of previous people. So this is one way the Quran uses to drive points home. When a person listens to the story, it impacts the heart quicker. This story that I'm about to mention to you has been narrated in the book Durratun Nasihin, page 290. Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Ishaq Rahmatullahi alayhi has said that despite the poverty of his brother, meaning his brother was quite poor, he would still perform qurbani every year with the intention of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, pleasing the Creator. After his brother passed away, he himself had a dream in which he saw that judgment day is taking place, Yawmul Qiyamah. And people have come out of their graves, going towards the plains of resurrection. Meanwhile, he spots his deceased brother. He sees his brother, who used to give qurbani every year despite being in great poverty. And what state did he see his brother in? He saw that his brother was riding a piebald spotted horse. And following his brother were many other horse riders as well. So he asked his deceased brother, Ya akhi, ma fa'ala Allahu ta'ala bika? Oh my brother, how did Allah ta'ala deal with you? How did he treat you after you died? His brother replied, Allah azza wa jal has forgiven me. Allah ta'ala has forgiven me, pardoned me. And then he asked his brother, he said, due to which deed? What deed led to your forgiveness? He replied, one day I gave a dirham to a destitute old woman with the intention of attaining thawab, reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very deed led to my forgiveness. You saw a destitute old woman who had nothing and he gave her a dirham, but he was poor himself as well. He says, this is what led to my forgiveness, this act of generosity, sakhawa. So his brother asked about the horses. What about the horses then? I see you galloping, going towards the plains of resurrection. And this is when his brother replied, you see these horses, these are all the sacrifices that I performed during Eid al-Adha. These are the qurbanis that I performed during Eid al-Adha. The horse that I'm riding on, this very horse, is the first animal I sacrificed for qurbani for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked him, where are you going now? And he replied, towards Jannah, towards paradise. And saying this, he disappeared. What do we learn from this account, dear brothers? That in the dunya, your actions will have a direct effect and will determine what state you are in the Akhirah. We know that this person was blessed because he performed qurbani every year. He was blessed in that Allah Ta'ala gave him this horse, piebald, spotted horse, and he was riding upon this horse in Mahshar, on the Day of Judgment. But others won't be as fortunate as this person, because they never did the actions in the dunya. And the maqsad of mentioning this story right now is because we are currently in the Qurbani season. We are around the corner from Eid al-Adha. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that ma hadhihi al-adahi, what are these sacrifices that we carry out? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. These sacrifices that we carry out, these are actually the sunnah of your forefather Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's alluding to the famous incident, the famous story where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, commanded him to sacrifice his son, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. And this was, of course, a trial and a test for Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, whether he would come through it, whether he would pass it or not. And as you know, the Quran tells us he did pass the test. Allah Ta'ala said, do not sacrifice your son. We know you are ready to do this for Allah. Instead, a ram came from the heavens and that was sacrificed instead. And now until Qiyamah, alhamdulillah, our ummah is blessed in that when we approach the day of Eid al-Adha, millions of people across the globe, those who qualify and those who it is wajib upon to do the sacrifices, they do them wholeheartedly, they do them without any hesitation, and they spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, there are many people who are reluctant and they think to themselves, I have to pay £85 for a share in a cow, I have to pay over £100 for a goat. That's a lot of money. But the sad thing is that we only think like this when it comes to the deen. When it comes to sadaqatul fitr, when it comes to qurbani, we're always searching and researching, what's the cheapest option? What's the cheapest option for me? When it comes to the dunya, we don't have that mindset. There we want the most expensive thing. Whether it's clothes, whether it's cars, whether it's houses. And we take pride in that. We want people to know we live in a certain area. And just by mentioning that area, people will start thinking, wow, he lives in so-and-so area. Because it's got a price tag, it comes with a price tag. The house is that expensive. Or people see you in a particular car, and that's your introduction. Oh, he must have spent over £20,000 for that car, £50,000 for that car. So when it comes to the dunya, we don't look for cheap options. We go all out. When it comes to the deen, that's when we're counting our pennies. Where can I make a saving? Allah Ta'ala has told us already that لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That if you truly want to attain success and righteousness, bir, the word used in the verse is bir, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You will never truly attain righteousness and virtue حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Until you spend that thing which you love. Maal is beloved to us. Wealth is beloved to us. That's the nature of human beings, the way we've been created. It's a test as well. We have desires because of wealth. But when will you attain true righteousness? When you spend that wealth. And in the tafsir of this hadith, this verse of the Quran, in the tafsir, Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala, it's narrated regarding him that he would buy sacks of sugar and then he would distribute them amongst the people. And someone asked him, why don't you just give people the money? And of course he would do that at times as well. But here the narration states, when he was asked, why do you give sugar to people? Why do you buy sugar and give it? He says, because of this verse of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, you will never attain true virtue until you spend that which you love. And sugar is beloved to me. So I buy this and I give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sugar is beloved to people today as well. There's dessert places everywhere. People have sweet tooths. So when you spend that which you love in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you
truly attain righteousness. And remember, this is once a year. Once a year you're asked by Sharia. Once a year, if you meet the conditions, you give qurban. And it's not that much. If a person goes for a meal with a few friends, easily the bill comes to £100, maybe even more. But here, we're very reluctant. And if it's due to stinginess, then that's a bigger problem. If it's due to a lack of certainty that Allah will give us more, then it's a massive problem. Because the believer should be one who is certain and who has yaqeen that وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. The Quran says, whatever you spend, Allah will replace it. Allah will give you barakah. Allah will give you more. This is the mindset that we should have. Yes, for that moment when you parted with your wealth, it's been deducted from you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more. And this has been seen. Alhamdulillah, this has been seen. That those who give zakat properly, those who give zakat every year, they calculate it properly. Year on year, the zakat increases, meaning the amount they have to give. Because they're giving it properly. They're fulfilling this wajib. They're giving the right to those who are deserving. So we need to work on our yaqeen. We need to increase it as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely replace it. Will definitely give barakah. We just have to take that step and give in his way. And the stingy person, let's be honest, nobody likes him. The stingy person, as mentioned in the hadith, is far away from the people. And what's a greater calamity than that? Is that he's far away from Allah as well. And the sakhi, the generous one, his muamala, his matter is the opposite. He is close to Allah. Listen to the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that the generous person is close to Allah and he's close to paradise, and the generous person is close to the people as well. And he's far away from the fire of hell. As for the opposite, the stingy person, the person who withholds, the hadith mentions, the hadith states that the stingy person is far from Allah, distant from paradise, distant from the people. The people don't like him as well. But he's close to the fire of hell. Because he's stingy, he's miserly, he doesn't spend. This is the ta'rif given by the scholars, that the stingy person is the one who doesn't spend where he's supposed to spend. So that stingy person might not even spend on his family members. And then zakat and everything else, very difficult for him. Qurbani. Because he's always counting. He's counting his wealth. Can never bear to see a decrease in the wealth. So we need to be amongst those who, even if Allah has blessed us with a lot, but still we can show generosity. That's why in a hadith it's mentioned that sometimes the one who gives one dirham surpasses the one who gives 100,000 dirham. What does that mean? That the person who gives one dirham, he may only have 10 dirhams in total. And the one who's given 100,000 dirhams, it may be the case that he has billions. So for him, it's not a massive feat to give 100,000. But the one who only has 10 dirhams, and when he gives one dirham from those 10 dirhams, he's given 10% of his wealth in the way of Allah. And that's why the hadith mentions that. That sometimes the one who gives less surpasses the one who gives way more in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, these are things that we need to inculcate in our children as well. Our coming generations as well. When they're young, and you give charity, give it through the hands of your children. You're going to give it anyway. So if you're going to give sadaqah, you're going to give charity, what's the benefit of giving through the hands of your children? That from a young age, when they're young, they're going to realize the importance of giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they'll have that habit. You've developed that in them. So when they grow older, and they ask to give zakat, to give qurbani, to give sadaqatul fitr, to give charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is second nature. They're used to it. It's not something that's just come out of the blue and it's hit them. Oh, I have to give this much, I have to give this amount. No, they're used to giving it. Why? Because you've nurtured them in that way. So, going back to it, qurbani, sacrifice a goat, sacrifice a cow, a share in a cow, 7 shares in a cow. And sometimes what happens is in the family, in the household, it may be the case that several members of the family, it's wajib upon them to give qurbani. But they satisfy themselves by giving just one. They'll give one goat, for example, and they'll say, this is on behalf of all of us. Allah will accept it. But remember, Allah Ta'ala is the one who, through His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has taught us these rules, the rules of qurbani. And in a nutshell, if somebody on the day of qurbani, the ayyamul qurbani, the 3 days, the 10th, 11th and 12th Zulhijjah, if he possesses the nisab, which is the same nisab for zakat, and that's beyond his essential needs, and he's not heavily in debt, so much so that even if he was to give all his savings, he would still be in debt. If he's not like that, then he has to give qurbani. But if someone's living paycheck to paycheck, and everything's getting spent on bills and expenses, then he won't have that much savings. The matter is different for him. But then you have someone who may not be working, but still qurbani is wajib upon them. And what's that scenario? That's when a woman has jewelry. She may not be working, but she has jewelry equivalent to the nisab. She has to give it. So there are so many rules regarding qurbani that one has to learn. And it's not something that you will wake up with one day, knowledge of rulings of the deen. This is fiqh. This is understanding of the deen, which you have to spend time for, invest time for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, "Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum." That knowledge comes through learning, comes through seeking it. There's no capsule that you can take and learn all the rulings of qurbani. There's no medicine that you can take and you'll become a faqih. No. The tried and tested way is you sit at the feet of a scholar and you study the rulings of the deen, the rulings of Hajj, so many other rulings. So every year when we have these events like qurbani, like Hajj, fasting, we're supposed to have some sort of knowledge regarding these acts of worship. Otherwise, the last thing we want is to put the effort in and not get the reward of it. It's Hajj season as well. People going for Hajj, but they haven't learned masail. And you might say, this is not right, you're just exaggerating. People know the masail of Hajj and Umrah. Right now, I receive questions from people out there, and they're asking me questions which they haven't learned. And it's affecting their Umrah. It's affecting their Hajj. Someone's asking me, I've done the whole Umrah, well, many rounds of it without being in a state of wudu. Then I've done my halaq and I've done my sa'i as well. What's the hukum for me? What's the ruling for me? So that shows you that people are doing these massive acts of worship, ibadat, without knowledge. And think about it, that's not found anywhere else. This carefree attitude is not found anywhere else. Would you allow a doctor or anyone into the theater if he doesn't have prior knowledge of how to do the operation? Let him just trial it, let him just learn on the job. No. He has to have so many years of prior study and expertise and experience as well. Similarly, when you get work done in your house, an extension or anything of the sort, are you going to call any old builder? Oh, he's the cheapest. And then he does a cowboy job and you're like, oh, what's happened there? You won't do that. You'll get a quote from so many people. You'll find out from others, who did you use? How did you find him? You'll do the whole research. And then you'll commit to someone. But when it comes to deen, we're very carefree. We're very lax. We'll just go with the flow. Everyone's doing tawaf, I'll just do tawaf like them. Everyone's doing namaz, I'll just follow them. And similarly, qurbani. There are so many rules of qurbani. When you give qurbani, some people like to give it in their own village. It's a good thing because if the qurbani meat is distributed amongst your own relatives, that's the best. Because that's silatul rahim as well. You're mending ties, you're maintaining ties with your blood relatives. So if you can do qurbani, for example, someone gives it abroad, where his relatives are, his siblings are and their families, it's good, alhamdulillah. But even then, it's not the case of buying any animal and sacrificing it. There are so many rules regarding the animals, the conditions they have to meet, the ages of the animals, They shouldn't have certain defects. Otherwise, they won't qualify for Qurbani. Who's going to learn all of this? We have to learn all of this. And time again, we mention how in the era of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they were the most eager to learn these things. They had the greatest teacher, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet they devoted their lives for knowledge. Those of you who have been blessed with going to Madinatul Munawwara, zadaha Allahu sharafan wa ta'zima, you will see near Riyadul Jannah in Masjidul Nabawi Sharif, there's a raised platform. And that's where the Ashabu Sufa would reside. The Ashabu Sufa, those fortunate Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, who devoted their lives to seeking knowledge. So they were there day and night. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come out to them and he would teach them knowledge of the deen. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would teach those Sahaba. They would learn. Of course, they would go away, memorize. Then they would come back. The thirst for knowledge was never quenched. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two types of people whose thirst is never quenched, no matter what they do. Number one, the one who is greedy for knowledge, the one who is eager for knowledge. Doesn't matter how much he learns, he still wants to learn more. And this is mahmood, this is praiseworthy. Especially if it's knowledge of Quran, hadith, fiqh, tafsir. This is the best type of knowledge. The inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ. Then the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the second person who his greed is never ended as well. Is never satiated as well. And that person is he who has greed for worldly wealth. It doesn't matter how much he attains, he always wants more. You will have someone maybe on his deathbed, he's still thinking about how to increase his assets. That's the nature of us. So we need to be amongst the first category who are actively seeking knowledge, and this thirst for knowledge is continuous. It doesn't stop, it doesn't die out. And we need to avoid being from the second category. Because once Allah Ta'ala has given us some of the dunya, a portion of the dunya, alhamdulillah, and it suffices us, it's we make ends meet, then we should focus on the deen. Because ibadat, that is what will matter in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow on the day of judgment. So give your qurbani inshallah, and when you give qurbani, give it wholeheartedly. Don't give it with this ill intention that, oh, I have to give it because everyone's giving it. I have to give it because people are going to ask me, what am I going to say? No. Give it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you give it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't think about what others say. You won't have any focus on that. What does the hadith say? That give with your right hand in a way that your left hand doesn't even know. Between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And give charity, give qurbani, fulfill your zakat, sadaqah, wajibat. Do all of these things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do them correctly and properly, fulfilling all the criteria and the conditions, you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you. You will see that sincerity takes you a long, long way. And you have people who have these stories that they did things for Allah, they left things for Allah, they left haram ways, prohibited ways, forbidden ways for Allah, and Allah Ta'ala opened such doors for them that they could never have imagined. This is our Creator, our Lord. This is what is required from us. If you want blessings, we need to follow a certain way. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to be amongst those who are generous and those who are far away from stinginess and miserliness, and to fulfill all those things which are fard and wajib upon us in terms of our wealth, our maal. It's qurbani season. Do give your qurbani. And if multiple people in your family, in your household need to give qurbani, then ensure that qurbani is being given on behalf of every single one of them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who act upon the deen wholeheartedly and sincerely. And may Allah give us the full ajr for that in the akhirah as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same.